It's the Fucked Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. It's the Fucked Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. He's the one that rates the films in which the actors deserve no salary. From Straight Talk to Donnie Darko to Karate Kid Part 2. These are the worst movies that absolutely blew. These movies are so terrible they make you go berserk. You'd rather watch C-SPAN or the Home Shopping Network. It's the Fucked Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. These movies suck so bad that you'd rather drink pee. It's the Fucked Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. These movies fucking suck. Hi, and welcome to the Z Critic Movie Gallery. I'm your host, the Z-Man. It is Tuesday, May 20th, and it is 2 days away from the release of Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Well, I am literally psyched for this movie, and I cannot wait to go see it. Like, I am freaking psyched. It has been since 1989 that a new Indiana Jones movie has come out, approximately almost 20 years from the day. So, and it's kind of funny because Harrison Ford, you actually think about the way he looks, you know, in most of his films, he still looks the same at 66 years old. That is literally insane. I gotta give props to the man. He stays in shape. He still, you know, it's hard to believe that, you know, back in the 70s, he still looks the same exact way. Gotta give props to my main man, Harrison Ford. He's the bomb. He is the man. I cannot wait to see him in action as Indiana Jones. But unfortunately today, we're not here to talk about the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull as much as I would like to talk about it. No, I have to waste my time on this piece of fucking garbage that came out in 1984 known as Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. You would think that, you know, with the directorship of Steven Spielberg and a playwright like George Lucas, that, you know, something this bad cannot be possible. Like, it's a match made in heaven, these two, you know, writers and director. I mean, they really go together like peanut butter and jelly. And unfortunately, you know, what happened with this film has compared to the, you know, masterpiece of Raiders of the Lost Ark and, you know, later on in the Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, unfortunately, a piece of shit had to be made in between, kind of like a shit sandwich, and everybody's taking a big bite of it. Well, I kind of want to start off by saying that Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom is probably, you go around and you talk to people about Indiana Jones, and this is probably, unfortunately, the movie they remember the most out of the three. It really had a huge hype and kind of summed up the whole 1980s mentality. There were, you know, plenty of video games out there based off of, you know, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. There really aren't that many for the Last Crusade, the last time I checked, or Raiders of the Lost Ark. No, it pretty much focuses in on Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. It's kind of sad, but the movie we remember the most seems to be the shittiest out of them all, and that's usually not the case. I mean, you look at, you know, other titles like Home Alone. Nobody really remembers Home Alone 3 or 4. I mean, who the hell would? Those are pieces of shit. But for some odd reason, we remember Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom like it was yesterday. And the other two flicks, yeah, it's a common person. I mean, they probably don't know as much about them. You know, I ask a lot of people and they say, yeah, I remember Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Well, that's the shittiest film. I mean, how can you remember such a shitty film? Let that be kind of the memory of just the abomination to how bad this movie really was. And it's not like the worst absolute positive movie of all time, but you know what? It was sure as hell a big disappointment from the first movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Let's examine the plot here. The beginning of the movie is really extremely disappointing. It's just like a fucking big disappointment. Like, let me put it into you, like, in these terms. Let's say you're flipping through the channels and you're getting ready to, like, channel surf. And you're looking for a good movie to watch, but you hate musicals. You're not a big musical fan. Well, unfortunately, when you would flip through the beginning and you wouldn't know, you wouldn't know it was a Indiana Jones movie because it looks like a fucking musical when it starts. Kind of like one of those pieces of shit TCM movies, the Turner Movie Classics or whatever the hell it's called. Like, kind of one of those 1950s sock hop films that, like, are a shitty musical. And to be honest, I wouldn't want to fucking watch a piece of shit film like that either, so I would flip the channel thinking it wasn't Indiana Jones. So the beginning is literally atrocious compared to the first one. It doesn't have anything to do with Indiana Jones. Like, a bunch of dancing girls at a bar have about as much to do with Indiana Jones as ballerinas in the fucking Super Bowl have to do with, you know, Indiana Jones. So, like, it's retarded. Like, why put dancers, like, ballerina dancers in fucking Indiana Jones? That's just not really cool at all. That's a fucking disgrace to me. So, as we go on, it starts off where he's at a bar, and, you know, they're kind of sitting there, and he's talking the Japanese. He was in China, I believe, to start off the film, and it's in 1935, so it starts off in China, Hong Kong, downtown Hong Kong, and there was a famous singer that started singing, and she comes to the table, and they're, you know, Indiana Jones and this Chinese guy with his bunch of thugs, like mobsters, are kind of talking things over, and he was talking about some ancient artifact that Indiana Jones had, and Indiana Jones wanted a diamond off of him. Well, things get pretty thick, fast, and kind of negotiations kind of break down. So Indiana Jones puts a knife to the girl that is kind of going to be a main character of the film. The girl that I'm referring to is Kate Upshaw, who plays Willie Scott, short for Willie Hama. So he holds a knife to Willie and says, "Give me the diamond or I kill the girl." Boy, that's pretty freaking harsh. I mean, you know, gets a nice little introduction. "Hi, my name's Willie," and then sticks a knife to her. Boy, that's a real nice introduction there. So, anyways, the bartender brings Indiana Jones a drink, and it turns out that the drink is completely drugged, and everything starts to break down after that. They get in a huge brawl, and one of the funnier parts of the scene, it's kind of cheesy. Indiana Jones takes out a shish kebab, and it's like flaming, and he just like acts like it's a javelin, and it flies through the air and sticks the guy in the stomach. It was pretty funny, but why on earth would a shish kebab be that sharp? I really doubt a shish kebab is going to be that sharp to the point where, like, you bite on it and you're probably going to, like, cut your mouth or something. Usually shish kebabs are round at the top, that way you can't kill a person with it. So, it kind of sticks out of the guy and, like, lights on fire. It's kind of cool in the beginning. They go through a big chase, and then they're going out the car, and you're introduced to another character. This kid's so annoying. His real name's Jonathan Kee Kwong, and he's known as Short Round. What a name, Short Round. Like, they don't even really say how he got his nickname. Indiana Jones kind of talks about later on about the fact that in World War II his parents were killed by a bomb, and he kind of picked up this kid because he was literally homeless. So the main problem of this movie comes sooner than not, and it's when Dan Aykroyd makes an appearance in the fucking movie. I did not know that Dan Aykroyd was in this movie at all. I mean, I had watched this movie literally a million times, and I found out something new. Dan Aykroyd was in this film. He played the guy, I think he was an assistant or something of Indiana Jones. They have him listed as the character Earl Weber, but you're really not even introduced to him. He's just kind of standing there, and he gets the plane ready for Indiana Jones. You wonder if he was working for the Japanese or the Chinese mafia there, because Indiana Jones says the guy's name. He's like, "Better luck next time," you know, blah blah blah. And meanwhile, that name was actually on the plane as he pulls the door shut. So that was kind of ironic. There's just so many, like, fucking coincidences to this movie, like, that it's just unbelievable. Fucking coincidence after coincidence. Too many coincidences, you know, put all together. It's kind of coincidental how they meet and how all of a sudden, you know, Indiana Jones is running with this kid Short Round and the Broad Street hooker named Willie. So it's really annoying to start out the film, and so many coincidences to the point where it just gives you an outright headache. So then, they go the whole way across over to somewhere around India, and while they're sleeping, instead of like the guys on the plane, like, killing Indiana Jones, they just kind of jump off the plane, and it actually gets pretty funny, because, like, they're just, you know, sleeping, and Willie wakes up, and she's like, Mister, and Short Round goes, "His name is Dr. Johns, and I really hate the way Short Round talks, Dr. Johns, like that. "Very funny, ha 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 ha, me touch bum bum, ha 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 ha, very very funny." He's just annoying in this freaking film. I mean, he's so damn annoying that, like, I would rather hang out with Richard Simmons for a fucking day than this fucking small piece of shit kid. I would send him off packing to, like, the nearest Boys and Girls Club and have him locked up. That way I wouldn't have to look at his fucking face anymore or listen to his stupid, annoying voice. And I'd duct tape his mouth shut, too. So, anyways, as we're going on with my usual rants of who I hate in the film, the plane blows up, and the explosion's fucking retarded. Like, there's no, they jump out of the plane, and it's so hard to believe. It looks like they're out in the middle of, like, the regular woods, instead of being on the Indian snow caps, you know, of, like, Malaysia or something. I'm assuming that, because, like, if you follow the map, it kind of shows, like, where they're headed. So, I'm assuming that they were in India, and it's just freaking retarded, because, like, there's no plane parts when the plane explodes. It just goes, poof, like a cloud of smoke. And that was just so cheesy. And there are no plane parts scattered about. It just, like, disappears or, like, implodes or something. Just totally retarded. It's like, please, make me believe that that plane actually fucking exploded more than you did. I mean, gosh, somebody could have just, like, put an explosion up on there, like, on YouTube or something, better than that fucking explosion. It was awful. So, then they're riding, like, on this emergency, kind of like an emergency, life, like, raft. Well, let me ask this. Why the hell would there be a life raft on a fucking cargo plane, okay? And wouldn't you think that the passengers that jumped, or the guys that were driving the plane that jumped out, wouldn't you think they would take the raft with them instead of taking the fucking parachutes? What the hell? So, anyways, they're on this raft and they're just, like, going down these snow caps. And you're thinking, hell, there's no way they're gonna fucking survive. This is completely unbelievable. And you're right. It is. Because after they drop down, they end up in a hot area after being on top of the snow-capped mountains and all this snow. So, then they get picked up by this group, this tribe, so to speak. And they meet this leader, and Indiana Jones asks if he can get the new, if he has a tour guide to get to New Delhi and go back to America, because he wanted, because he's a professor. Well, it turns out that all this aligned at the right time for this village. They believe that a god sent Indiana Jones to them, and there's this old bum that looks like older than frickin' Moses, and he's spooky as hell. Like, he's fucking spookier than the monster on Cloverfield. That's how fucking spooky this guy is. I mean, he's pretty fucking spooky. He's right up there with one of the spookier guys I've ever looked at. I'd be screaming my nuts off if I ever had to look that guy in the eyes. So, he's going through this, you know, they're going up to the village and everything, and, he kind of, you know, says, we need you to help find a sacred stone, and we need it right now because our people, our crops are dying, and he steals our children, and so you will go to Bangkok Palace. Bangkok Palace. Now, as far as I know, What the main problem is with this movie so far is the fact that there is no historical relevance to this movie. Like, in Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark, there really was a lost ark. And it had powers to be believed. Like, it's on the History Channel, so it has historical value. You know, The Last Crusade, going back to the Knights of, and the Holy Wars of England and Scotland. So, there's some historical sense there. And then you got, like, now the new movie, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and there's a lot of historical relevance to it. Actually, they're going to have probably soon on the History Channel historical relevance to it, because the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull is actually real. Well, Temple of Doom, I don't think that's real. It's a fucking fictional place. It's a fucking fictional fantasy. Like, it's totally retarded. It has nothing to do. It doesn't fit in with any of the other Indiana Jones movies. And that's my rant on that. So going back to the plot, they're supposed to find this sacred stone to help out the village, so their Mahatma Gandhi god, or whatever the hell his name is, will help out their village and save them, because their people are starving. So Indiana Jones is going, oh, I'm going to do this for the fame and fortune. When has Indiana Jones ever done things for the fame and fortune? Like, that is not Indiana Jones and the Indiana Jones that I know. Indiana Jones does things for historical relevance only, because he's a professor. He doesn't look to cash in on big bucks. So, and as far as Indiana Jones goes, I mean, he usually knows what he's dealing with, and he knows the real power of things, like the Lost Ark. He knew what that power was. He also knew the relevance of the Last Crusade in the third one. And I'm pretty sure in the fourth one he's going to know the relevance of the Crystal Skull, but that remains to be seen. We haven't watched that movie yet, obviously, because it's not out. So that's another different kind of cliche that they're using, a different twist to it. You know, so I don't know if I exactly liked that direction, that he didn't know about the actual power. So anyways, I go into Bangkok Palace, and it's so, another prejudice that bothers me is, like, the fact that all Indian people, like, eat disgusting things. Like, there was these snakes that they were starting to eat at the palace, and all these other disgusting, like, foods, like monkey brains for dessert, and, like, eyeball soup and stuff, and it was just retarded. I just thought that that was such a fucking prejudice. Like, what a piece of shit movie this is already turning out to be. It's so boring. There are no usual chases that usually go on. No mini chases, like in the, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark or Last Crusade. There's a bunch of mini chases with, you know, the Germans. So there are no Germans, there are no Soviets, it's just about India. And, like, as far as I know, the last time I checked, India was not a world power. Like, Indiana Jones, the great thing about him is he was conquering world powers in most of his movies. So, like, you know, he conquered the Germans in the first one, conquers the Germans again in the third one, and then he's kind of conquering, you know, the Soviets in the next film, and dealing with the Aztecs, I believe. I'm not certain about that, but I'll have to watch the movie to find out. But no, in this one, he's just conquering a bunch of village people. You know, it's like, let me put this into perspective here. Like, imagine if Indiana Jones, like, conquered, like, you know, the entire continent of Asia, okay, he conquered that, and then, like, he just goes back, and then he kind of conquers Butler, Pennsylvania, or, you know, Redneck City in Oklahoma, or something like that, you know, like, it's fucking retarded. It's just absolutely boring. It makes for a boring film because there are no mini-chases because there's not enough people and not enough intelligence to track down Indiana Jones. One of the great things was watching the chases of them actually have to track down Indiana Jones and Indiana Jones coming up with different ways of hiding and everything. There are no fucking mini-chases, no ways for him to hide, really. He kind of, like, gets caught in, like, the stupidest places, and it's just boring. Like, this film makes me, like, fall asleep faster than NyQuil. I mean, it's fucking horrible and atrocious. That's all I can say. So, pretty much, like, past the Bangkok Palace part, that's the last part they go from. So, he moves a bunch of, pieces, and he finds out that he's in the actual Temple of Doom. So, you know, there's one scene where there was, like, some... The ceiling started to cave in and the spikes were happening. And meanwhile, this happens all in one fucking night. I'm sorry. This could not possibly... All this transpiring could not happen in fucking 24 hours, okay? It usually takes, like, a couple of days at least. You know, in Raiders of the Lost Ark, all that happened didn't just happen in, like, one night. It took days, weeks, and months for that to happen. Same thing with The Last Crusade. I mean, there were a lot of different scenes. No, this all happens in 24 fucking hours. That's a little coincidental and too hard to believe. Like, all these events transpiring, like, were so much that it made time go literally slow. Like, it's like 24, you know? Like, all these events happening in just a 24-hour piece of an entire season for 24 hours. It's too slow of a time frame. So, like, time is irrelevant in this, apparently, so that's another fucking piece of shit idea that they came up with. And, like, the continuum for all this is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it just brings my fucking... It makes me want to explode. Like, I just... Oh, I'm so angry right now at this movie. So, going on with the plot... basically, they find the Temple of Doom. They start figuring everything out. They get past the wall, like, caving in on them. And Willy is just absolutely annoying. She screams, like, frickin'... louder than an opera singer, and she screams like every 10 seconds, like, ah, ah, ah. Screams like an old hag, for crying out loud. She's annoying. So, then, like, they get caught by a bunch of village people with their swords and stuff. And meanwhile, when has Indiana Jones ever been afraid of a sword? Okay? He usually has a gun and stuff to, like, shoot him down. Like, in Raiders of the Lost Ark, he was taking on, you know, whole entire armies of the Germans. And you're going to sit here and tell me that he gets dominated by the Indians? Like, people from India? Like, drawing out their swords and, like, trying to kill him? That's a little too far-fetched for me to believe. That's like, I don't know, that's like saying that the Terminator conquers, like, a whole entire, you know, army, but yet he can't defeat, like, a little mouse, you know, like, a little mouse would just scare him. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't, absolutely, positively doesn't make sense to me about how Indiana Jones gets conquered by these little village people. And, like, has such a struggle, like, beating the shit out of him. It's a fucking disgrace. It makes Indiana Jones look like one big wuss factory. So, anyways, there's one of the most famous scenes, and I think people know where I'm going right here, of the 80s, it's actually the part where... It's about the only scene in the movie that's actually decent and worth watching. After this scene, you should just probably hit stop right away because the rest of the movie fucking sucks. Harder than a $3 prostitute. So, anyways... during this film... up until this point, all the scenes have literally sucked ass. But this scene's awesome. The guy wears this, like, weird bull head that he probably, like... It looks like something that, you know, was like a dead animal or a dead cattle head or something. So he's wearing this big thing, kind of like the Flintstones. Yeah, that's it. Remember how in the Flintstones they used to have that bull club or whatever, and they used to have wear those big hats or whatever for like their bull club meetings or whatever. I can't remember exactly what their club meetings were called. I'd have to look that up and research it. But that's what it kind of looks like. And all these village idiots are going, chanting out all these things like, Ikade, 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 Ikade. And this guy goes, Machima, Galima, Machima, Galima. And then the guy, like, the guy's wearing flowers around him like he's, like, going to Hawaii or something. It's absolutely retarded. Meanwhile, he's just, like, chanting out stuff. Amima, 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 Amima. And he's actually kind of hypnotized by this supposed blood that he was supposed to drink. So that when the guy, the leader, goes, Galima, and clenches his fist and rips out his heart. Yeah, you can actually see his heart, like, beating. And the leader guy with the cattle head on top of his head, it's kind of, like, beating the entire time. So, the weird part is, he's still alive, and he still kind of knows what's going on. He's just, like, chanting, you know, stupid words. I have no idea what he's chanting. So, anyways, they put him on this, like, they kind of put him on this chain thing, and it's kind of like a raft, like a steel raft, and he's being lowered down to this, like, huge freaking lava pit, and as he burns up and dies, like, the heart burns up and dies. So that was kind of interesting. Well, they're watching this from up above, and Indiana decides to be a nutcase and go steal the artifact. Well, usually when you steal an artifact, you know, Indiana Jones, something usually happens. Like, nothing happens. They just come and nail him. You know, the leader guy's people just kind of, like, capture him. Well, that's fucking retarded. There's usually something that happens, like a wall caves in, or like a boulder or something, like a catacomb tomb comes out. I don't want to see, you know, him just, just have to surrender to a bunch of thugs. I want to see him run and, you know, then get captured. I want to see, you know, like a boulder coming after him and he has to, like, escape. It was stupid. It was just so anticlimactic. Like, it just completely blew. I just thought they blew that scene. They could have done something a hell of a lot better than just having them get captured. So, there was no running. There was no chase in all of this. And then they find that the kid, you know, he gets locked up and everything. And, they start kicking the crap out of him and kind of beating on the kid. And you later find out that they have a bunch of slaves. It's a slave factory of kids, like, trying to find the next two stones that they need to, like, apparently rule the world. Yeah, a bunch of village people are going to rule the world. That's like saying Butler, PA is going to rule the world, you know, with five stones. What a piece of shit. And guess what? Unlike Raiders of the Lost Ark, where you get to actually see its power, there is no fucking power in any of this. Soon Galima will rule the world. I mean, that's fucking... that's like, please, show me something. Show me how Galima will rule the world. Like, couldn't they have just found the five stones and we could have seen, like, you know, the power? like kind of like Raiders of the Lost Ark, where you actually see the Lost Ark and its power. Like, it just doesn't do it for me. I mean, there's like a non-belief factor there. That's like trying to tell me that, you know, Adam Ant is a superhero, but he just is an ant. Like, he just doesn't do anything. So it would be pretty hard for me to believe that. I mean, I just can't describe it any more like that. It's just fucking atrocious that they try to make you believe that these shitty-looking regular stones are supposed to help you rule the world. I completely doubt that. So, anyways, what's kind of nifty is, back at the palace, there was this boy who was kind of like a sultan, he's kind of like the king, but the kid's like 10 years old. So, I mean, come on, that's really hard to believe that a 10-year-old would be ruling a village in 1935 in India. I mean, that kind of reminds me of, like, the the only time that's really ever happened in a kingdom was, like, China with the last emperor of China. So that's kind of a little hard to believe there, too. That's too much of a fucking coincidence for me to believe. And, like, all these... It's just completely fictional is my problem with this fucking film. I mean, it's so unbelievable, you know, that it just makes it such a piece of shit movie. I can't put it into any terms better than that. And by the end, there's just a bunch of non-violent things. Like, it's starting to turn into a kid's movie by the end. I mean, they're going on a chase, and it's not even that exciting because there's hardly any dialogue that's going on. You know, they're just kind of like, whoa, woo, whoa, like the entire time. That's all the dialogue you hear. And it's just boring. Like, it puts me to sleep like NyQuil. I had trouble paying attention to the rest of this film. It's just fucking atrocious. So, by the end, they get up to, they free all the slaves, and they start kicking the shit out of everybody, and, the kids, like, start beating up on, kind of like their leaders that are making them do all this, you know, work, and the fight scenes in this are completely retarded. There's actually one fight scene that was kind of cool. Indiana Jones, and there was this, like, one big guy that kept on beating the shit out of him. He was, you know, taller than, like, freaking Yerga Murasan from the Washington Bullets. I mean, this guy was a giant. So, like, this guy must have been, like, 7'6" or something. And, you know, he was, like, Yao Ming size. I mean... And Indiana Jones ends up beating the crap out of him. And then there was kind of like this roller, and it kind of rolls onto him. But another stupid thing was the fact that that Sultan boy had like a freaking voodoo doll of Indiana Jones. So you're telling me that, you know, that leader guy, the crazy guy that keeps on saying Galima the entire time, knew that Indiana Jones was actually gonna fucking be there? Like, that's too much of a fucking coincidence for me again. Another fucking coincidence in this film. Like, come on. I mean, how do you know that he's actually gonna be there? Is there, like, some type of magic crystal that told you he was gonna be there to hurry up and make a voodoo doll out of Indiana Jones? So the boy keeps stabbing it the entire time, and it hurts Indiana. Well, anyways, Dr. Jones beats the shit out of the Yerga Murasan guy, and he gets crushed by, like, this roller, and blood spurts everywhere. But you don't see his body. You literally don't see his body. You just see a bunch of paint on a fucking roller. Like, that's horrible, too. I want to see the body parts and guts flying everywhere. No, let's make it into a kiddie film, because that's what we do. That's George Lucas for you. Fucking douchebag. I hate him as a writer sometimes. I mean, when he gets on these, you know, childhood rants, every time he tries to make something into a childhood fantasy, it just fails. He is not a child. He shouldn't be a childhood writer. He is a writer for adults. He is an adult fantasist, not a childhood fantasist. So, like, whenever he, you know, seems to write movies, he literally fucking fails, because, you know, his failures can be always attributed to the fact that he tries to make it into a little kid's movie. Well, by the time this whole entire chase ends, they get to the bridge, and, you know, the Sultan snaps out of the spell that he drank the blood and he was hypnotized. And after that, they get to the bridge, and it's one of the more famous scenes. Indy is kind of surrounded by the Indian people that have swords and stuff, and he's kind of in the middle of it all. Well, what happens next is kind of cool. He kind of cuts the middle and of the bridge, and it still hangs together, and he tells them all to hold on. Well, meanwhile, all the other idiots forgot to hang on to the bridge, and they get all eaten up by the alligators and stuff. And the leader, Mola Ram is his name, is actually on the bridge, and he's trying to kill Indiana, but Indiana just fucks him completely up. And he falls to the pit and falls to his death. And then, meanwhile, he's booting his own guys left and right, Mola Ram, to try and get to Indiana. And you think that would piss off the, you know, his people, but his people are still attacking Indiana Jones instead of attacking Mola Ram, because they're idiots. So they shoot all their arrows, and eventually Mola Ram falls to his death. And the British Army and Indian Army actually come, and they kind of kill off the rest of them. And then Indiana Jones comes back with the freaking rock and shows all the village people, and they jump down and go, hooray, 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 you know, victory, you know, blah, 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 and who the fuck cares? Like, this is one of the shittiest Indiana films ever. I can't believe this fucking piece of shit actually exists. I mean, this is not only one of the worst Indiana Jones films of all time, it may be one of the, you know, worst films of the 80s. Like, I can't believe this won an Oscar. Like, what did Spielberg and Lucas do? Like spend a year, give them, like, the judges a year of their salary or something? I mean, what the hell? This is an absolute fucking disgrace to the Oscars, and perfect proof why, you know, the Oscars don't even really need to be on, because they always fucking vote the wrong movie anyway. What a piece of shit. And my biggest fucking beef is the fact that Dan Aykroyd was only in this film for like 1 minute. 1 minute. And it turns out that Dan Aykroyd had a serious problem with, not Steven Spielberg, but George Lucas. And that's why he was kind of cut out of the film, because he was actually supposed to be Indiana Jones' tour guide throughout the movie. So that would have maybe made the film a hell of a lot better than fucking Short Round being kind of like the lead caddiest of the film. It was just too hard to believe, too boring, and it was made for kids. Absolute fucking disaster. And wouldn't you know it? His next movie, that same year, Dan Aykroyd kind of laughed in the face of Spielberg and Lucas by exploding onto the scene as a movie star in Ghostbusters. That's right. His next film after this was Ghostbusters. So he kind of laughed in the face. He's like, ha, you know, you only want to put me in a minute of your fucking shitty film? Well, now I'm going to come out with Ghostbusters, bitch. So that's pretty much my rant on Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. I'm sorry you had to listen to all this. I mean, this film just pisses me off beyond belief. I can't believe I had to, like, sit through such a piece of shit movie. I mean, it's annoying me. Like, I want to punch a wall right now because this movie was just so horrible. Like, I even remembered it, and now I remember why I couldn't finish watching it. Or, you know, every time as a kid, like, I would start watching this movie, and I would just hit the stop button because I was fucking bored. I thought it was maybe a, you know, ADD problem, or I had ADHD and just couldn't sit down. No. This film gives you ADD or ADHD. I mean, seriously, I would rather fucking watch The Notebook all day and all night than watch this piece of shit film again. I mean, I'd rather fucking watch, you know, a whole entire marathon of The Price is Right, or a whole entire marathon of, you know, The Dating Connection from the 80s. Like, this movie fucking blows. Fucking horrible. Absolute fucking disgrace. Cats and dogs making out. Everybody in mass hysteria for this shitty fucking film. Well, that was my rant on Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Again, please go see Indiana Jones and the Crystal of the Kingdom, or the Crystal of the Kingdom Skull. Actually, it's the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And, you know, we'll see how this, you know, shapes out. Is it going to be, you know, like the Temple of Doom and the fact that, you know, he's getting chased around by a bunch of Aztec people throwing spears and stuff? I don't know. I think the interesting plot is that he's being asked again to do something. He isn't actually planning out his mission like he did with, you know, the Raiders of the Lost Ark and Last Crusade. So the last time he was asked to do something, it turned out to be a really shitty film. I really doubt that this time. I think this movie's going to be great. I am literally psyched. And hey, it's Indiana Jones. And it can't be as bad as, you know, Temple of Doom, can it? I don't know. But I'll go and see. Meanwhile, enjoy the Indiana Jones theme song as I sign off. This is Z-Man, and thank you for listening to the Fucked Up Z Critic Gallery.